Sadly, the press has not been covering it as much as they should in proportion to the seriousness of what just happened when the United States Supreme Court essentially told this individual who has been convicted of 34 felonies that he will be immune from essentially the activity he has told us he is prepared to engage in if he gets back into the White House. Understand what we all know. In 122 days, we each have the power to decide what kind of country we want to live in. Understand what we know. When there has been a full-on intentional attack against hard-fought, hard-won freedoms and rights, justice will not be achieved unless we are prepared to march and shout and fight for it. And one of the ways we do that is through our vote.
One of the ways. It's about the only way we have left at this point. Let's get busy.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's WW News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ. Excuse me, in Seattle on KODX. Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. All right, we are back. When we left for our holiday break just over a week ago, I vowed, Desi Doyen, to not look at any news until returning. Now, our last show was just before the first presidential debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So I'm wondering, how did it go? Did I miss any big news or anything on that or anything else while I was off the grid?
I think there were a few things that happened over the last week. Yes. It was probably the most, I think I saw someone call it the most surreal week in U.S. history,
yeah,
at least politics.
Absolutely. At least the most consequential news week, I think, or the most consequential 10 days in at least 8 years, maybe 23 years, arguably even longer than that, thanks to several insanely outrageous and anything but conservative rulings at term's end by our wildly corrupt, packed, activist, illegitimate, right-wing, extremist Supreme Court. So, yeah, I think we missed a thing or two. But, yeah, I was lying. I was paying attention as much as I didn't want to. In fact, I do not believe that it's an overstatement to say that it feels, in one sense, thanks to that corrupted court, like I've returned to air today in a fundamentally different America than the one that I left when we took our break just over a week ago. So, yeah, we will have a lot to catch up on the show this week and most likely in the many weeks well beyond. But even beyond the corrupt ruling granting kingly immunity to U.S. presidents that is to be found nowhere in the Constitution, and whose founders clearly were strictly against any such thing and might even have taken up arms to oppose, and the disastrous debate for Joe Biden, which I hope to open up the phones to you about shortly at 818-985-5735. Got any idea what Democrats should do at this point? What Joe Biden should or should not do? I bet you do have some thoughts. If so, I would love to hear them. If you're listening in our live Southern California listening area or anywhere across the world via the kpfk.org live stream, please give me a call at 818-985-KPFK. I'd love to listen to you today on that to help me get back into the swing of things. But beyond all of that, there was a lot that has happened since we spoke, even beyond those things. The corrupt Supreme Court also made a separate massive power grab, as we had warned several times on this show, just before we left, was likely to happen, by overturning the Chevron deference doctrine, which has been in place for decades, about 40 years until now. Previously granting deference to subject matter experts at executive agencies like the EPA, the FDA, the SEC, the IRS, et cetera, when it came to rules and regulations created to carry out laws adopted by Congress. Now, judges, and yes, corporations who sue the government, thanks to the Trump court, will be able to use their non-expertise over the actual experts in their fields at the federal agencies to determine the outcome of cases and the legality of critical laws on everything from the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act to approval of drugs to pollution regulations to antitrust legislation, etc. It is a wild, radical, not conservative in the least power grab that is set to undermine the federal administrative state as we know it for, well, at this point, short of court reform, forever. Last week as well, Hurricane Beryl spun up very quickly in the Atlantic to a Category 5 storm, the earliest Cat 5 ever recorded at this time of year, thanks to the record climate change-fueled heat in the oceans that were already at record temperatures that are more normal for August and September. Way back in May of this year, they were already at levels that we would expect in August, correct?
Oh, not only that, but the oceans have been at record levels of temperature for the last year now. So yep, it's not just since May. It's been for 13 months, just like the June was the record hottest June ever recorded, so, the 13th month in a row. That was the hottest ever for that month.
So as stunning as the development of Beryl was, it was hardly a surprise. In fact, in many ways, it was predicted. Anyway, that storm on Monday has now slammed into the great state of Texas as a Category 1 with punishing winds and a gobsmacking amount of rain, knocking out power amid a heat wave to more than 2.5 million Texans as of Monday afternoon. That storm will now be moving northeasterly across a huge swath of the country, reaching as far north as Michigan. So if you're in its path, buckle up for the next several days. We'll have more on that, no doubt, on our Green News Report with Desi on tomorrow's broadcast. In brighter news that we missed at the start of last week, however, the execrable Steve Bannon, Donald Trump's former campaign manager and senior White House advisor, was finally forced to begin serving his four-month prison sentence for two contempt of Congress convictions for his refusal to simply answer subpoenas from the House January 6th committee, even as Bannon played a central role in the ultimately failed insurrection at the U.S. Capitol that day, as part of Trump's many failed efforts to steal the 2020 election. Also, the similarly execrable and disgraced Rudy Giuliani, who also played a key role in the many failed attempts to steal 2020 for Trump, was officially disbarred by the state of New York, where he once served as both a federal prosecutor and New York City mayor. Now, Rudy has had his license to practice law taken away from him in New York State, as he owes hundreds of millions of dollars in civil fines for repeated defamation against 2020 poll workers and is still facing billion-dollar lawsuits from two different voting machine companies that he told repeated lies about following the last presidential election. So some good accountability news there in both cases, at least. And yes, There was better news by week's end and into the weekend in three different nations where voters said no to right-wingers and yes to more liberal reformers. In the UK last week, on the heels of EU elections, which found the far right across much of Europe gaining ground, voters in Britain finally ousted its Conservative Party in Parliament in favor of the British Labour Party after 14 years of disastrous Tory rule. And voters did so in an absolutely striking landslide victory. It wasn't even close. The new UK Prime Minister will be Labour leader Keir Starmer. The following day in Iran, of all places, a more liberal reformist candidate named Masoud Pezeshkian, a heart surgeon and lawmaker promising outreach to the West, won his presidential runoff against a hard right candidate following the recent death of Iran's far right president, Ebrahim Raisi. So that could be very good news for not only Iran's increasingly liberal, young reformist population, but also for the rest of the world in a number of different ways. And then on Sunday, again, just weeks after many EU nations, including France, had voted in hard right members to the European Union Parliament, it looks like the gamble by center right French President Emmanuel Macron to call for snap elections for the French Parliament may indeed have paid off, though not precisely in the way that Macron might have hoped or as most had expected. In a stunning turnabout, France's left-wing political coalition on Sunday held off Marine Le Pen's far-right National Rally Party from reaching a majority or even a plurality in parliament, as had been expected. In an election with record turnout, and I think that's key, the leftist coalition came together to confound pre-election polling and all expectations and were able to fight off the rise of France's right-wing nationalist party to win a plurality of seats in parliament, if not an outright majority. Not only did voters hold off the far right in France, which, you know, many had expected to take over the government for the first time since the Nazis took over France during World War II, but Le Pen's far-right nationalist party actually ended up coming in third after Macron's centrist coalition, thanks to massive voter turnout and strategic coalitions among the various left-wing, yes, anti-fascist parties. There may now be some amount of chaos in France, nonetheless, over the next few weeks as it's determined who will actually be able to form and control a government there. But it is unlikely to include, much less be led by, the hard right, as many had feared and predicted going into last week's snap elections. But yes, the results, between the results in the UK, in France, and yes, even Iran, I got to say, I take some measure of hope today in democracy, and that when the people turn out to vote, we can hold off right-wing fascism at the ballot box. No matter what the polls and the pundits might tell us before people actually get out and cast their votes. Just as France did, where a coalition on the left came together to win an unexpected stunner of an election in what illustrated to me anyway, what can happen when those on the left come to appreciate the dangers of rising autocratic forces and actually put differences aside to come together to fight autocracy instead of tearing each other apart. Just saying. If it could happen there and in the UK and in Iran, for crying out loud, yes, it can happen here, even with the rise of Donald Trump and his MAGA authoritarian far right and what might end up proving to have been the collapse of Joe Biden's candidacy during and after his first debate with Trump just over a week or so ago. And with all of those other things going on, I'm going to largely put most of them aside for our shows later in this week to focus on what has become, I think, it's fair to describe it as the most immediate concern in any event for the moment in this country, the candidacy of Joe Biden, the most effective and, yes, progressive president since at least LBJ and arguably since FDR. Effective and progressive, yes, but now threatened by his own aging and, yes, very poor performance at that recent debate. So again, on that, I'd love to hear from you today at 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. What do you think Joe Biden and the Democrats ought to do right now? How should they proceed at this time? Just over 1 month from their national convention, where Biden is set to be formally certified as the party's nominee, and just under 4 months from this year's never more critical general election day. 818-985-KPFK, I'd love to hear from you. As much as the Biden-Harris administration and campaign would love to put the concerns raised by the debate behind them, as much as they might prefer to focus on the uncountable number of out-and-out lies that were told by Donald Trump during that very same debate, thanks to the media and or thanks to the very real concerns of Americans who watched the debate, questions about President Biden's fitness to run against Donald Trump over the next 4 months, much less serve as president for 4 more years, well, those questions persist more than a week after his disastrous performance. Nonetheless, as of now, Joe Biden remains steadfast. He's not going anywhere, he insists. In a 2-page letter to congressional Democrats on Monday, Biden stood firm against calls to for him to drop his candidacy as he called for an end to the intra-party drama that has, as AP reports today, torn apart Democrats since Biden's dismal public debate performance. His efforts to shore up a deeply anxious Democratic Party came as lawmakers returned to Washington on Monday after their Independence Day break, confronting a choice: decide whether to work to revive his campaign or try to edge out the party leader, a make-or-break time for his reelection and their own political futures. Not to mention, I would add, the country's future and the planet's future along with it. High stakes much? Yeah. Biden wrote in the 2-page letter that, quote, "The question of how to move forward has been well aired for over a week now, and it's time for it to end," he said. Is it? You sure? Do listeners agree? 818-985-5735. Biden stressed that the party has, quote, "one job, which is to defeat presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump in November." Quote, "We have 42 days to the Democratic convention and 119 days to the general election." Biden said in the letter, "Any weakening of resolve or lack of clarity about the task ahead only helps Trump and hurts us," he said. "It's time to come together, move forward as a unified party, and defeat Donald Trump." Some top-ranking Democratic lawmakers are joining calls for Biden to step aside despite his defiance. At the same time, some of the president's most staunch supporters are redoubling the fight for his presidency, insisting there is no one better to beat Trump. Biden followed up the letter with a phone interview with MSNBC's Morning Joe, on which he insisted that, quote, "average Democrats want him to stay in the race," and said that he was frustrated by the calls from party officials to step aside. "They're big names," he said, "but I don't care what those big names think," Biden told Joe Scarborough during the call.
"The bottom line here is that we're not going anywhere. I am not going anywhere. I wouldn't be running if I didn't absolutely believe that I am the best candidate to beat Donald Trump in 2024. We had a Democratic nominating process where the voters spoke clearly. I won 14 right. million of those votes, et cetera. So I not only believe that from the beginning, but I wanted to reassert and demonstrate that it's true. And I'm going to be doing that all through this week and from here on."
Joe Biden threw the gauntlet at his critics. He said that if they're serious, they ought to, quote, "announce for president, challenge me at the convention, or they should rally behind him against Trump." Democratic voters apparently are split on whether Biden should remain the Democratic Party's nominee for president or whether there should be a different nominee. That, according to a New York Times Siena College poll. Though, interestingly, the polls have not changed much since the debate. Of course, the problem is that, you know, the Biden-Harris campaign had actually been hoping that the debate would change the polls in their direction. In at least one case, curiously, however, the polls have changed. As Bloomberg reported on Saturday, President Joe Biden registered his best showing yet in a Bloomberg News Morning Consult tracking poll of battleground states, even as voters offered withering appraisals of his debate. Donald Trump led Democrat Joe Biden by only 2 percentage points, 47 to 45, in the critical states needed to win the November election. That's the smallest gap in those battleground states since the poll began last October. Biden now leads Trump in Michigan and in Wisconsin and is within the poll's statistical margin of error in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina, but he is farthest behind by some 7 points in the critical state of Pennsylvania. If Biden were to win, just so you know, if Biden were to win Michigan and Wisconsin, that'd be swell, but he would still need to win Pennsylvania in order to take the presidency or win Michigan and Wisconsin and two or more of the other swing states in order to win re-election. But the poll also shows that sticking with Biden would mean backing a nominee about whom voters have deep misgivings. According to Bloomberg, nearly 3 in 10 Democrats said Biden should drop out of the race, far more than the just below 1 in 10 Republicans who said Trump should do the same. A private call on Sunday, including some 15 top House committee members, exposed a deepening divide as at least 4 more Democrats privately said that Biden should step aside. That would include Congressman Gerald Nadler of New York, Jim Himes of Connecticut, Adam Smith of Washington State, and Mark Takano of California. That comes on top of 5 Democratic House members who indicated the same thing over the past week. Still, other members, including Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California, Bobby Scott of Virginia, both leaders in the Congressional Black Caucus, spoke forcefully in support of President Biden, as did Congressman Richie Neal of Massachusetts, the top Democrat on the powerful Ways and Means Committee. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia had intended to gather senators on Monday to discuss Biden privately, but instead, those conversations will take place in Tuesday's regular caucus luncheon, reportedly, with all Democratic senators instead of through a private call. Another Democrat, California Senator Alex Padilla, said it was, quote, time to quit the hand-wringing and get back to door-knocking. Now, in one sense, I got to say, I'm very happy that we were off last week. There have been more than enough so-called hot takes from so-called experts and pundits out there over the past 10 days since the debate, though I did take the time on the day following the debate, prior to getting out of town, to discuss a way forward for a relatively smooth transition to a different candidate for president and, crucially, vice president if, and this is critical, only if Joe Biden himself decides that he needs to step aside. You can read about that brief recommendation at bradblog.com, and I may share some of it with you today. But for the moment, I'd rather not personally influence your thoughts either way for the moment, if I can help it. My number is 818-985-5735. I'd love to hear from you, and I will note for those not in our live Southern California listening area or listening live from anywhere via the kpfk.org stream, our callers tend to be very Southern California-centric. So make of that what you will. In a state where we have the luxury of being very blue and decidedly not being in a swing state, so our callers tend to reflect that, Though, as I said, if you're listening from anywhere in the world via our KPFK live web stream, I'd love to hear from you as well. And I'll even try to push you to the front of the line. 818-985-KPFK. Let me take a quick break here, and we will come back with your calls. Looks like a lot of folks want to ring in on this, so hang on the line. Should he stay or should he go? And if he goes, well, what then? Who should take his place? How should they do so without either resulting in chaos among Democrats or a collapse of the Democratic coalition itself at a moment in history when democracies around the world need to, and some indeed are, coming together to stave off the rise of fascism, the likes of which we have not seen on this planet since World War II. Your calls are next on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the broadcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?
Good question.
If I go, there will be trouble.
There will.
And if I stay, it will be double.
Yeah, that's true, too. Welcome back to the broadcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Taking your calls at 818-985-5735. Should he stay or... should he go? I see we've got a lot of callers. I'm going to get right to you in a moment. But Timothy Snyder, the esteemed expert on fascism around the world, author of The Rise of Unfreedom and the quintessential On Tyranny book, he wrote on July 1, just 2 days after the first presidential debate and on the day that the radical extremist corrupted U.S. Supreme Court invented out of whole cloth the sweeping presidential immunity clause that is absolutely nowhere to be found in the U.S. Constitution. He wrote in a brief five-tweet thread, one, unless Trump loses, America ends. Now, I don't necessarily agree with him there, but I do take his point, and he is, after all, the expert on this stuff, so it was chilling to read him say that. Two, the Supreme Court has made this clear, as has Trump himself, over and over, he says. Three, our enemies know this, which is why they all, without exception, support Trump. Four, we have no excuse not to know this. And once we know it, we can act, each of us doing what we can, trusting one another, making contacts. Five, we can do this, he writes. If we each do what we can, this republic will go on, and this republic will get better. Timothy Snyder, just a few days ago on Twitter. I hope he's right, at least about our ability to come together to assure that this republic will go on and will get better. But we are certainly being tested right now, and that test begins and ends, perhaps, in fact, with those of us who oppose tyranny and autocracy and fascism and realize that that is what is actually on the ballot this November. And to that end, however the opposition to fascism is currently being led on that ballot by the Biden-Harris campaign, with its leader Joe Biden under a lot of duress from many corners to pull out of the race and make way for someone else, however that happens, that is what is on the ballot. Even as the president and his supporters and many in Congress are pushing back, calling for him to stay in the race. Well, what do you think he should do? What would be best for democracy versus tyranny and authoritarianism with just over a month before the Democratic Party's National Convention, less than 4 months before Election Day, less than 3 months before voters start voting in it? 818-985-5735 in our live Southern California listening area or beyond via the kpfk.org stream. I'd love to hear from you right now. Let me go to, see if this Is that working? No, it's not. Let me go to Rodney in Culver City. Rodney, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just had to say I'm really tired of the Democrats eating their own. Joe Biden, President Joe Biden.
Oh, no. You're breaking up there, Rodney. I think you might be in a car. He was saying he's tired of Democrats eating their own. And, Des, I think he noted that.
Yes, he told me. Oh, there he is.
There he is. Rodney, can you say it again? You're dropping in and out. I'll give you one more chance. I know you're driving.
Okay. Democrats need to cool ranks behind Joe Biden because he is the best chance, the best hope that we have to defeat autocracy and to defeat Donald Trump. If you look at history, you will see what happens when Democrats get out of races. Look at Lyndon Johnson. We ended up with Richard Nixon. Look at Adlai Stevenson. When Truman declined to run again, we lost out to a Republican man. Republicans know how to close ranks behind no matter what candidate they have.
All right. We got your point, Rodney. I'm afraid we lost. You're going in and out because you're driving. But I appreciate that call, Rodney, very much. Very good. Let me go to Matt in San Luis Obispo. Matt, welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you very much. If I had my brothers, Joe Biden would just step down. The Democrats would choose somebody like Elizabeth Warren or of the ilk and really rally behind. I mean, I'm talking about my druthers.
Yeah, you are. Let me ask you about your druthers, Matt. He would drop out and somehow through some magic process, Elizabeth Warren would become the nominee?
Well, somebody to step forward of that ilk, not another corporate Democrat.
Step forward, how does that work? We've had a primary. The delegates have gone to Joe Biden. How does somebody, whether it's Elizabeth Warren or somebody of that ilk, actually become the nominee as you are envisioning this?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, this would be uncharted waters. And I'm talking about druthers. I'm not talking about what is going to happen, which is he's going to stay in the race. I wish he would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the thing, Matt. If we all had our druthers, things would be maybe very different. If we had a full primary process at the beginning of the year, right now, this is a very real thing. This is not a time for luxuries and druthers. The question is, what now? What do we do now? What should be done now? What would you like to see done right now? Not what you're.
Well, he's not going anywhere, and you are absolutely correct on people's assessment that this is a choice. Is this going to be the last American election? Because it may well be. We could slip deeply into fascism.
We could,
for sure.
Yeah.
And to help bolster his vote. A lot of people are horrified by the ethnic cleansing being funded in Gaza. You know, I have friends who have family over there, and even if I didn't, I mean, the horror we see. And
how does that help bolster his standing?
I'm saying if he will stop the funding, and okay. Even Ronald Reagan back in the 80s, during the whole Lebanon shenanigans, called Menachem Begin and said, you got to stop this slaughter.
Okay.
But then the press actually had the courage to put, you know, covers of Time magazine
okay.
with the slaughter. Now it's a lemonade stand and, you know, ice creams.
All right. Well, so, those are different issues, obviously. The question is right now about the state of his candidacy and should it continue?
Well,
and if not, then what? So, yeah.
Well, then I'm saying things like addressing that issue, stopping the funding, et cetera, is going to help him with the voters who now don't want to vote for him because of reasons like that.
Okay.
Of course, his age is a whole other thing.
And, of course, you realize, Matt, of course, it might also hurt him with the voters who do like his position. So it's not that I I'm not agreeing with, or disagreeing with you about what, you know, policy I may or may not prefer. It's just kind of off topic for this moment. But do you think he should stay or he should go? Give me that much at least.
Well, given the circumstance where there's no real reality way for someone to come in and just step in, then he should stay.
Thanks for the call, Matt. So, I do appreciate it. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Oh, good. It's Roger in Minneapolis. Haven't heard from him in a while. Roger, welcome back to the broadcast. Hope you're doing well up there, sir. Roger?
I'm plugging away. I am plugging away, Brad.
Good.
Okay. Thank you. I thought I'd take you up on your offer to prioritize some not Southern California people right now.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Roger.
I'm up in Minneapolis.
Yep.
I also, as a member of Jewish Voice for Peace and so forth, I think it's terrible what Biden has been doing regarding that. But I'm not going to crack that egg right now. He had a bad night for sure. But the argument that I think needs to be made front and center.
Yeah.
A, definitely Biden should stay. There's no question in my mind about it because, according to Alan, what's his name? With his keys, I forget his last name right now. It just doesn't come to me. This professor who predicts the outcomes of elections.
Okay.
He's got a good point about the importance of retaining the incumbent candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And much as I prefer to see Newsom Harris ticket, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is think like the way that things work in parliamentary democracies. We need to vote for the party. We need to, it's not about a personality. It's not about Biden specifically. It's about the policies and general predilections of the party.
Yeah.
We need to vote for the Democratic general leanings and not for what the Republicans are willing to do, and that's it.
Well, Roger, I think go just one step further to say it's not about voting for the party, but voting for the policy, voting for the anti-fascism, voting for democracy. There's a lot of Republicans out there who I would say, hey, you may be Republicans, you may be lifelong Republicans, but I know that what they are now cooking up on the right is not what you signed up for. So I think it's way beyond party politics, way beyond party politics.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And so what we need to do is a clarification that the policies of the Republicans and the policies of the Democrats, we need to be voting for the package of policies that do not represent a collapse into fascism. And so that means, yes, voting for the party that represents those policies. We agree completely on this. But that's the answer. It's not about voting for Biden. If Biden winds up dropping out of the picture, somebody else will take over. Fine. But we need to vote for those policies and the party that represents them.
I appreciate that, Roger. Thank you, brother. Thanks for that call. Much appreciated. I will note a couple of things. I've got a longer piece here from our friend David Roberts, the great longtime climate and energy journalist. He's been a guest many times on this program, going back almost two decades at this point. He wrote a great Twitter thread last week, which had at least as much passion as Roger was showing just there, who is not quite as usually not quite as animated as he was just now. But he said, where's this point of this thread that I want? Oh, yes. He said, to be clear, this is the beginning of this thread from Twitter from David Roberts. To be clear up front, I don't give one tiny hot blank who the Dem nominee is. I truly don't. Biden's fine. Harris is fine. A warm puddle of vomit is fine. There is no conceivable resolution to the nomination fight that could change the basic calculus of this race, he says. And then he goes on to talk about the need to prevent a fascist takeover in the U.S., saying that's my top priority as a journalist, as a voter, as a human. If it isn't yours, too, you should feel bad about yourself. If you haven't made the stakes of this election clear to everyone within the sound of your voice, you should feel bad, he says. Maybe I'll read more from that later, but I want to stick with your calls, 818-985-5735. I'll also note, if you can't get through to us because our lines are full, or if you're listening later to the podcast or broadcast elsewhere, you can reach me via Twitter. I am the Brad Blog, where Don Sebastian writes to say, quote, fly on the wall listening to Brad Friedman. Typical Brad Blog listeners. Quote, Dems need to close ranks behind Joe Biden to combat authoritarianism, unquote. Basically, he says, fall in line to avoid falling in line. Bravo. Don't know if he's being sarcastic or not, but I thought I'd share it with you. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Alan in Los Angeles. Alan, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
All right. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
That's good. Yes, for sure.
All right.
Now, I don't like what I'm saying, but at the same time, we have to realize what the situation we find ourselves in is today. You said you came back to a different country. That is important to see. Look at it as, you know, it's like a movie plot. It's a movie script. What do you do, you know, when you come back to the same, a different country? In this case, we have a Supreme Court that is openly clearing the way for Trump to do what he is also openly saying he would like to do if he's given the office of presidency once again.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be unbelievable and incredible, except this is being openly said and it's being backed up by various Republicans. You know, they're signaling this. Isn't it time maybe for Biden to at least opine, you know, that if you are giving the presidency these powers, then maybe I will have to arrest Trump if there is no other way of stopping him. We are going to give me the powers because I'm the president right now to do what Trump will do.
So you're saying arrest Donald Trump?
Well, I said arrest because maybe there are other ways, but Biden needs to start thinking if this is what you said, a different country,
yeah.
Then and there are all these, there is something very, very precious in the balance.
So,
right?
let me respond to that, Alan. I am not of the mind that even though the Supreme Court outrageously gave powers to a U.S. president to break pretty much any law that the U.S. president feels like they want to break, which is unbelievable. I'm not of the mind that any president should do that, that Joe Biden should do that. Yes, we are in a different world than we were a week ago, in large part because of that decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. But throwing a political opponent in jail, even though it can apparently legally be done now, by the way, he could also assassinate Donald Trump. I don't think he should do any of those things. And so, go ahead.
Oh, I could have said assassination. As it turns out, I said arrest him. But he can be blocked in ways that we wouldn't have considered before and we shouldn't consider before, except for the fact this is such an obvious rigged game. At what point do you realize you have to stand up and say, all right, I'll take you at your word?
Well,
right?
Well, no,
and we will block this.
When you're talking about rigged, are you talking about the election or are you talking about the Supreme Court?
Oh, I'm talking about everything, not just the Supreme Court, but the fact that 27 or so state legislatures are distorting the electoral process.
Right.
I'm talking about that. I mean,
so we need to fix that. We need to correct that. The answer is not to be as bad as the bad guys you are trying to defeat. Yes, you can't bring a butter knife to a gunfight. But there is a mechanism to get out of this mess, Alan. And it is to vote. It is to vote in overwhelming numbers, to vote in numbers like this we saw in UK and in France, and to push back against this. And then, yes, I suspect, I expect the right to push back, to lie, to claim it was stolen, to do all sorts of violent and terrible things. But that is not us. They're the bad guys here. We're the good guys here, and we can continue to be good guys without playing by those broken, corrupt, immoral rules.
Okay. Well, no. Now, what I was saying, remember, is I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I want the voters to turn out. I want this to be done in a democratic way. But if it is, if it really is so drastic, I really don't want Trump to do, you know, what Orban has done before him.
Yep.
You know. So that's what I was trying to say. We should, he should at least, somebody should be out there. Is this really what you want? This idea needs to be out there. Is this really what you want? Because then this is how the Democrats can play right now, and they have the power. It's not really what you want. Is it the Supreme Court? Don't you think you should probably take that back?
Well,
it is time to re-rule for democracy for Hungarian democracy or whatever it is you learned when you went to Hungary.
I appreciate
that.
No, I hear you, Alan. The question about what to do about the Supreme Court and their ruling, I don't think going to them and saying, hey, don't you think you should change your mind? That ain't going to work. I don't know what is going to work. I do suspect we're going to talk about it on tomorrow's broadcast, though, because, yeah, that is troubling. But right now, it's the ballot box, as far as I know, and it's about spreading the word, talking about those things you're talking about right here on the air. Well done. Do it everywhere you can, anywhere you can, when it comes to making it clear what the threat is that we are facing. This is not about parties. This is not about partisanship. This is about democracy, the rule of law, and fascism that is staring us all down the right down the barrel.
Sure. So what I'm saying is, though, we have to think they are openly just letting, you know, their thoughts out without censoring them anymore. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for instance, and it is time for us to say, well, let's follow your thinking out. Do you realize, does America realize what you guys are saying? What it is in any president's power, even Biden, if you want to press this into a war, nobody wants that, I hope.
Thanks for your call, Alan. I know, I hear you. Okay. I hear you. Thanks for your call. I do appreciate it. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to, what happened? Oh, there we go. Bob in Culver City. Hey, Bob, welcome to the broadcast.
Great show. I urge every listener to call their state and, I mean, their senator and their congressman and urge them to stay with Biden. So, you know, as a grassroots movement, ride with Biden, riding with Biden. Alex Padilla has come out supporting Biden. That's pretty simple. He has the votes. You already went over this accurately. I think it's 14 million voted in the primary, and he has the war chest. And, you know, I don't know how much there is to really debate about this. He beat Trump already once.
Yeah. Well, that was 4 years ago. Things have changed. Things change in politics. I hear you. He does have the war chest. And by the way, as I write at bradblog.com, I talked about if Joe Biden decides that he does want to step out, there is a way to do it with a minimum of chaos, which would be for him basically to endorse to release his delegates. So you'll have ostensibly an open convention, but to release his delegates and at the same time endorse Kamala Harris, in my opinion, not necessarily because I like her or anything else, but mechanically. She's the only one who can take that mountain of money. I believe she would step up to meet the moment and at the same time endorse, in my opinion, Gavin Newsom as vice president. And before everyone writes in to say, oh, they're both from California, they can't run, constitutional issues, that's actually not true. She can declare her residency in D.C., where she has lived for 4 years, and she could do exactly essentially what Dick Cheney did back in 2000. That could potentially be a smooth transition forward, potentially. But if Joe Biden don't want to go, he ain't going to go. And, you know, I think all the callers are saying that Joe Biden shouldn't go. That seems to be what you're saying, Bob.
That's what I'm saying. Let me get a little information from you then. You just mentioned release his delegates. So clarify for educational purposes. Yeah. You're saying that Joe Biden cannot dedicate his delegates to another candidate. He frees them up to then vote in the convention for a new candidate?
Well, now we're getting into DNC party rules, and I'm not exactly sure how that would work if he was going. I don't know if he can actually give his delegates to someone, but it wouldn't be particularly Democratic, small d Democratic. I think a better way to do it would be to say, I am releasing my delegates. You are open to vote for whoever you want at an open convention of sorts. But I am endorsing Kamala Harris as president and Gavin Newsom as vice president.
Okay.
And then, you know, let the process play out at the convention. And I suspect enough folks have enough love and support for Joe Biden and his extraordinary 4 years as president that they would get, you know, get behind him. In that sense, you don't, you know, push away the first female black vice president. You let her, you know, take his place as she was elected to do 4 years ago anyway. You don't risk breaking up the Democratic coalition in that regard. And you have an extraordinarily strong vice president backing her up in Gavin Newsom. That's my suggestion for what to do if he were to, if Joe Biden were to decide he needs to drop out.
Okay.
I'm not suggesting that's the way any of this should move forward. That's why I'm glad to hear from you about this. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call.
Okay, one last thing. Your bumper song, you got to be careful. So it says, if I go, there will be trouble. But the third line is, if I stay, it will be double.
That's right. That's right, brother. Thank you for...
That was the 1982, The Clash.
Well done. Thank you for paying close attention. Appreciate it. 818-985 KPFK, let me go to, it's our friend Ron in West L.A. Hey, Ron, welcome to the broadcast, sir. Good to hear from you.
You too, Mr. Brad. How are you? Very glad to hear your voice.
And by the way, I know that all of this stuff makes you a little bit crazy, so I'm just going to remind you, Ron, we're on FCC radio. So, you know, watch the language. Okay, good.
I would never put you in a bad position,
Thank you, Ron. So how's it going? What's on your mind, my friend?
Okay. This may not be precisely on topic, but I'd love to know. I watched the debate with my friend LaDonna, and we kept looking at each other going, why in hell aren't they busting Trump on the spot for every single lie? The next morning doesn't really count. It's like if you have a dog that peed on the carpet, and a week later, you drag the dog over to where it peed, the dog's not going to know what you're talking about.
Excellent question. But let me ask you one in return that I don't know the answer to. So I'm just going to get your thoughts on that. Is it the media's job to fact check him on the spot, or is it the opposing candidate's job to do that?
I think in the heat of the moment, and I also thought Biden just looked kind of like a deer caught in the headlights, meaning he'd look at the camera like, or you know, he'd just have this look on his face like, why am I even standing on a stage with this moron?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as far as all that goes, I think it is the media's job. Okay. Because how many hats can a guy wear who's debating, you know, at that moment, especially debating, quote unquote, an idiot like Trump?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There should be some impartial party going, whoa, hold the phone. That is total baloney, malarkey, as you know who.
I know. And the problem is Donald Trump has broken the system. That would make perfect sense in some world where I guess you would then have to have a fact checker also doing the same thing to Joe Biden when he got any little thing wrong accidentally as opposed to the out and out lies. But, this is what makes it difficult. As a matter of fact, before we left, I said, I think we talked about it on air, that I had no idea how Dana Bash and Jake Tapper were going to handle this debate. As it turns out, they handled it just like all the previous moderators of all of the previous debates back when life was normal, you know, just by asking questions. I don't think that's enough, but I don't know what the answer actually is. It's a very real problem that you point out, Ron. But I got a bunch of callers. I want to try to hit as many as I can here and stick closer to the topic where I can. But you make excellent points, and it's great to hear from you, my friend. Hope you're well.
You too. Watch your email. Bye-bye.
I will. Thank you. 818-985-KPFK. Dulcinea writes in via Twitter in response to, I think, my explanation about Biden, I'm sorry, about Kamala and Gavin as president and vice president, by saying, hate to tell you, but no effing way. Biden stays all the way in. Love Newsom and Kamala, but no, that will guarantee the presidency to Donald Trump. Not sure Dulcinea is right there, but that's what she has to say on the Twitters, where you can find me at the Brad Blog. Let's go to Bill in Santa Monica. Hey, Bill, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good afternoon, Brad. I'm a black man, and I've lived in this country a long time, and I don't know if white commentators are afraid to go near this subject, but there's no way. Do you think that Biden will last 4 years mentally as president? And do you not think that at the end of 4 years, Kamala Harris will become president?
Well,
as a result of him stepping down?
Well, let me answer that, Bill.
Okay.
I'm not a doctor, so I have no idea whether he will last 4 years. That said, if he doesn't, we have an app for that. It's called the vice presidency, and Kamala Harris becomes the vice president. What's the question?
Right. Well, that goes into that figures into this race right now. First, Biden is not going to beat Trump. Whatever that Snyder said at the beginning, he's absolutely right. Trump will ruin this country for good. Secondly, this country is not going to vote for a black woman to be vice president. And right now, she's in a catbird seat if Biden should run and if she is a vice president. I don't care what people say, what they tell pollsters. They are not going to vote for a black woman to be president of this country.
Well,
and that's basically what they're voting for.
Okay, Bill,
if they vote for Biden.
And I'm coming up to the top of the hour, so I just have to ask you very quickly. You're saying that Biden cannot beat Trump and that Kamala cannot win. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly what I'm saying.
So, all right, so Trump is going to win as you see it. And you're cool.
Unfortunately for everybody, every minority in this country, every human being in this country. This guy wanted to put a nuclear bomb in a hurricane.
I hear you, Bill. I got to go. I know he is. I appreciate the call, Bill. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who I could not get to. I will note, however, there was a whole bunch of people that said back in 2008 that there is no way this country will elect a black man as president. I think Barack Obama may have something to say about that one. But thanks for the predictions in any event. I have got to get out. Thanks to everyone who called in. Again, apologies for those I couldn't get to. Thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, Wendell Handy, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast at bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, I am the Brad Blog. We'll see you there. Till we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.